An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armed forces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armed forces.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We approach Memorial Day, that day where our nation pauses to remember those who have fallen in defense of our country. And thinking about that vocation where death is a real possibility, where part of your job, whether directly or indirectly, is to go face it, or at least the possibility of it. The vocation of the soldier, and then those who are called alongside the soldier who do not bear arms but bear the word of God to that soldier and all who are in support of him. We're going to be talking about the vocation of soldier and military chaplain as we approach Memorial Day on this Friday, May the 26th. Joining us, Chaplain Craig Mueller. He's a retired U.S. Navy captain and director of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Chaplain Mueller, welcome to Issues Etc.
Well, thank you, Todd. It's great to be here.
Does the Bible have anything to say about whether a Christian in good conscience can serve as a soldier in war?
Absolutely. It's one of the biggest things that, for us as Christians, when we study the Word of God, how even a soldier is a vocation where God executes his kingdom to protect life. And we see, of course, probably plainly in Romans 13 about punishing evil and protecting life, that God gives us government. And for the government to do it, obviously, we need some kind of enforcement. And so soldiers, too, is a vocation by God to protect life, to protect people, to protect freedoms and human dignity in humans.
I think about John the Baptist in the early preaching there of the Gospels does actually encounter soldiers, and he does not counsel them to leave or to lay down their arms, does he?
No, he doesn't. You know, in fact, we have other examples of soldiers coming to Jesus, and the centurion, I think of off the top of my head as well, where he was loved by his men. He was an honorable soldier, and he came to Jesus to have healing for his son.
This is actually a subject, whether or not a Christian can be a soldier, that the 16th century reformer Martin Luther explicitly addresses at one point, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. We talk about that even today with our soldiers and airmen, Marine and Coast Guards, all those who wear the uniform, struggle with that issue. And that happened during Martin Luther's time, too, where someone was really concerned about their conscience if they could participate in these kind of things. And obviously, there are people who do not follow the law of war, if you will, and there's probably some illegal pillaging and bad things happening. And it was brought this person to a despair, and he asked Dr. Luther, and of course, as we know, Dr. Luther wrote that pamphlet, what we call now Soldiers Too Can Be Saved, which is an excellent peeling back and explaining of what that means to be living in the two kingdoms.
What, in essence, in kind of summary form, does Luther say to the soldier there, troubled in his conscience, worried about whether or not maybe his salvation's on the line?
Absolutely. I think Luther does a good job of just setting it pretty clearly to the soldier that when you're following orders that are lawful, as we know just again by what the Word of God tells us, and even our code of conduct today, that you're not supposed to follow an unlawful order, but a soldier who's obeying his commander, executing his vocation, his job honorably, is doing what he's supposed to do. And it's not a sin against his conscience. He's protecting his neighbor. He's defending his neighbor. And Luther lays that out very well. And it's really, I recommend anyone, it's been translated a couple times, but it's an excellent, excellent book to, even for today, to understand the two different roles and how soldiers can function honorably and keep their conscience clean.
Do you find this very question coming up with soldiers and seamen and airmen that you deal with?
Absolutely. I think probably more so, as you probably can imagine, in the last few years for me when I served my last 10 years on active duty. He was with the Marine Corps and a couple of combat tours. And there were these young Marines and sailors who would come to me because, as you know, in today's battles, there's no longer, you know, the lineal war, if you will, or the front lines. It's asymmetrical. You know, women and children are being killed. And it's just horrible how sometimes the enemy uses to actually hurt their conscience. I really do believe that, you know, sometimes they call it a moral injury or spiritual injury, but they purposely put our soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines in positions where they may have to harm a civilian. And so they do come to me as a chaplain often and struggle with that, you know, if there's collateral damage and whether it's something as on a patrol or if they're even running, one of the airplanes or dropping bombs or whatever it is. These are people who are very conscious of their roles as serving in our forces and want to do right. So there's constantly a question that they have that they can talk to their chaplain about.
The U.S. military is obviously a system of very complex interacting parts. We have the different branches, and then within those branches, the divisions of labor are mind-boggling. So a young Christian might find themselves doing all sorts of things, although we think about them just carrying a rifle on the battlefield. A lot of what they do there is simply to support the effort to defend and to protect this country, isn't it?
Absolutely. In fact, that's the motto that the supporting forces will often say, that their job is to support and supply that tip of the spear, whoever's on the front lines. It's all about the infantryman or the person on the front lines. And it'd be a good point, Todd, too, because even those who, you know, some of our advanced technology, we have the drones and we have all these other ways of fighting war, I guess, if you will, that can deliver violence and destruction a long ways away, but it still impacts these young people because they're the ones that are driving it or pulling the trigger or whatever you may have. And they need to really have a clear understanding of their vocation and understanding what they're doing, you know, as a Christian young man or woman, as a service member.
What would you say to someone who they're out of high school or they're in their first couple of years of college and they're thinking, well, you know, maybe I do want to do this. I want to serve in the U.S. military. And they come to you and they say, is this vocation for me? What kind of word of both encouragement but caution would you also offer them at that time?
That's a very good question, Todd, because I think, you know, at that age, they're discerning a lot of things. And, you know, as the military recruiters, they always put on these very fancy videos. I imagine you could probably saw some of those, trying to get that young man or woman who wants to go and serve in the military. And as they process that, I think it's important for them to know, and I would talk to them about, yeah, your vocation is, you know, to be a combat, in support of combat, or actually a combatant. But it's also a good thing, and go through what they would know about Romans 13 and even the fourth commandment, or, you know, understanding the authority, and then also assure them that at least today, you know, our country still is very strong on the law of war and the rule of war, using principles that protect innocence the best we can. And there will be very few positions that they will be in where they would violate their conscience. And I would even tell them at the early on to make sure that if there is ever a time when they're not sure about the order they're given or the position that they're in, to talk to their chaplain, or more importantly, even call their pastor with today's technology and walk through all that before they join the military, talking to their pastor about the roles and vocation of whatever service branch they're thinking about.
When we look at that kind of vocation, I think a lot of us see time spent serving in the military, that particular vocation, as a school of sorts. People emerge from it, in many cases, very well prepared to go on and do something else. Is that another thing to consider there in the vocation of soldier?
Oh, absolutely. It's just incredible when you think that, you know, for me as a chaplain, the average age group that I probably dealt with most of the time in our military is 18 to 25-year-olds. And you think about that, that's, you know, I've got a son now who's a junior at Mizzou and just turned 21. You know, their life is being formed. And the advantage of the military, as you were mentioning, is it does quickly, from boot camp on, teach you leadership and others before self, all those core values that you would say that, even though, of course, with today's pressures to not make it too religious, if you will, when you peel back those core values from all the service branches, though, you know, honor, duty, others before self, all are about selfless, sacrificial love for the person next to you, but for your country, for your neighbor. and it's it teaches them skills and basically to work with others. They get leadership position. I mean, I had Marines, you know, probably 19-year-old who's in charge of multi-million-dollar equipment, and sailors for the same for the branch that I served. And I know Air Force and others are the same. So not every 21-year-old gets that kind of experience, and it does set them up for working and leading and serving.
We're talking about the vocation of soldier and military chaplain on this Friday, May the 26th. Chaplain Craig Mueller is our guest, director of the LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces and retired U.S. Navy captain. When we come back, we'll turn to the vocation of the military chaplain. What does that man with the cross on his uniform, what does he do? Stay tuned.
Out here on the front lines, sleep in peace tonight, American soldier.
Are you on the road to paradise in the southern Puget Sound area of western Washington, but looking for a traditional liturgical Lutheran congregation in classical Lutheran elementary school? Parkland Lutheran Church and School in Tacoma, a member of the Evangelical Lutheran Synod, is the place to find our Savior's rest on Sunday mornings and Monday evenings. Visit our website at parklandlutheran.org for service times and downloadable sermons, preaching, teaching, and distributing Christ and Him crucified every week.
Matt Harrison, Chris Rosebro, Aaron Wolf, Peter Bender, Todd Peppercorn, and Terry Mattingly will be speaking at the 2017 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 9th and Saturday, June 10th in Collinsville, Illinois, about 15 miles east of St. Louis. Registration is $120. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 9th and 10th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org.
People are talking about the Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Lutheran FCU was created solely to serve LCMS workers, families, and entities, and proceeds benefit LCMS organizations. Lutheran FCU offers deposit accounts and loans and has service access at thousands of branches and ATMs nationwide. Lutheran FCU also offers members Christian-based lending advice for new loans and refinancing, minimal account fees, and superior personalized service. Check them out at LutheranFCU.org.
The 500th anniversary of the Reformation approaches. A good time to ask, who are we as Confessional Lutherans? What's our heritage? The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission has produced the Layman's Guide to Theological History. Go to the CLCC.org and see which of these presentations and books would be most helpful to you and your fellow parishioners. And consider becoming a member with us as the CLCC seeks to help more people know what it means to be a confessional Lutheran. The CLCC.org.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Recently graduated from high school or college and looking for a chance to serve a community in need while sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? Lutheran Young Adult Corps may be for you. Lutheran Young Adult Corps provides opportunities for long-term, full-time service for 10 weeks through the summer or 10 months over the school year in places like St. Louis, Philadelphia, and Boston. Find out more about Lutheran Young Adult Corps by finding us online at lcms.org/YACORPS or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Lutheran YA Corps.
Emily finally had to face the truth. Her church choir was a mess.
Katie Schuerman from her new audiobook, House of Living Stones.
Sure, they'd managed to turn out a few decent choral offerings for Sunday worship every now and then, but their confidence and morale were presently hanging lower than pants on a wrapper.
You can purchase and download an audio version of the novel House of Living Stones at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. House of Living Stones by Katie Schuerman.
The fact of the virginal conception, the fact that she is the Theotokos, the mother of God and so forth, we rejoice in those things because they tell us something special, not about Mary, but instead they tell us something special about Jesus, about who he is.
They had this big CNN cry on that said something about impeachment, and they had six different talking heads on. It was like in different boxes on the television. It was like George Orwell reimagined the Brady Bunch.
God knows what the end is going to be. We even confess that in the Creed. It's one of the ways some of the ancients understood that all Christians are prophets because we do know kind of the outcome. We know where things are going.
The American left liked Russia a whole lot more when it was Marxist and communist than the American left likes Russia now.
In about an hour, Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We will play those four soundbites in their entirety for you, and then you give us a call, send us an email, send us a tweet, or go to our Facebook fan page, and you vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. You pick the soundbite, and then one of the votes will get the LPR bundle package. That's an I Have Issues t-shirt, an Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, and notepad in 1 hour on Issues Etc. In the meantime, we're talking about the vocation of soldier and turning to the vocation of military chaplain. Chaplain Craig Mueller is our guest. Let's talk about military chaplain, if we could, Chaplain. I think the average person has a hard time imagining what that man with the cross on his uniform, what he does. How would you describe it?
That's a good question, Todd. A lot of people, I think, kind of assumed, or it's always been part of our history. I mean, as many people know, we've had chaplains since George Washington. He, one of the first things he did was make sure that chaplains were part of his army to make sure that the men received religious opportunity to exercise their faith, to receive their word and sacrament ministry of what faith they are. And so to explain to people what military chaplaincy is, I think for us, especially in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we've had a long history too, ever since Civil War, when Walther endorsed the first chaplain for the Missouri Synod since its formation to serve in the Civil War. Clearly, when you look at the historical documents, it is to, first and foremost, to provide word and sacrament ministry to the Lutheran Missouri Synod folks who are serving in the military, because they are far and away from their hometown pastor. It's sort of like, I guess, if you could say campus ministry, other places where we're an extension of that. So chaplain could be where they are. We live with them. We go to war with them. We go on ships with them. So we are present with them. And for me as a military chaplain, Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, to be able to offer the word and sacrament to our Lutherans. But also, as you know, clearly in that age group, there are a lot of those who are not sure of what faith they are, or they grew up maybe spiritual or belong to a church, but not really committed. So there's a lot of opportunity from the time you're with them that they have a lot of questions about life and relationships, and a great opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and to help walk with them and talk with them as they go through many challenges in the military life. So a military chaplain, I guess, is a pastor who lives with his people 24/7. I mean, we literally do. You eat, sleep, drink. I mean, you run with them, you jump out of airplanes with them, you do everything with them. And I think that gets a relationship that can't be taken aback or taken away from anybody. And that opens the doors for people to trust them as someone that they can talk to about whatever's going on in their life.
Tell us, if you would, one of your favorite stories about being a military chaplain.
Well, there's so many opportunities. That's a great question, Todd. I have never really actually thought about one in particular, because I really have been blessed in my over 26 years of service and every place I've served. But I would probably say that the best example I have is when I was out in actually Kuwait before the war in 2003, just before we crossed the berm. And I was doing a worship service, and just before we got there, we probably had 5 or 10 people there. It was a service of the word, because it was more of a general Protestant service for those. And then as we got closer to the war, the tent was not big enough. We went out the seams, and it was a great opportunity to preach good law gospel to these men. There were Marines who I was serving there with. But from that, probably the coolest thing was all of a sudden we found about 20 LCMS Marines that, they came from different units, and we all got together, and then I was able to provide them, the sacrament and do Bible studies, and we worked together with them. So again, there's so many good examples and opportunities that I have to share, but being there with them, in the fear of the war, then probably the others are, of course, when casualties do occur, when they lose their fellow Marines or sailors, to be with them and to comfort them with the gospel and as they mourn the loss of their comrades.
In that very vein, Memorial Day, of course, is the remembrance of the fallen. What are your reflections as a military chaplain, as had a career serving our sailors and our Marines?
Thanks for the opportunity, Todd. I think, you know, we sometimes you see bantering on the Facebook or internet about people saying, well, what's Veterans Day, Memorial Day, Armed Forces Day, what's all the difference? But I think when you mention a Memorial Day, we do all kind of realize that this is actually about those who didn't come back. And for me now, after finally retiring and personally, you know, we've been to, you know, memorial services when I was a kid growing up, but now having known some of these young Marine sailors who I prayed with before they went on a patrol and didn't come back, it obviously means a lot to me now that we do pause as a nation to reflect on the sacrifices they made to defend our freedoms and the opportunity to worship the way we can, you know, as Missouri Synod Confessional Lutherans, as we know. I mean, that's why our forefathers came to this land, was for freedom of religion and to protect that, and to know of many of these young men, women who have died in service to that freedom by putting others before self. It's just incredible to see how many of these folks just gave it all because of their love for their comrades, their fellow Marines or sailors or airmen or Coast Guardsmen, whoever they were serving with. But for me personally, now that I've known people who didn't come back, if you will, it really hits home. But you know, Todd, important thing for me too, and as a chaplain, is to emphasize even to the Marines that I served with that salvation still isn't about you dying for your country. You know, sometimes we can get caught up into the esprit de corps of our units and, you know, I'm going to get to heaven because I'm a good Marine or a good sailor or a good airman. But it's my job as a chaplain to remind them that, yeah, your vocation is to be the best Marine, sailor, airman you can be, but your salvation is still dependent on what Christ has done for you, on his death on the cross and his resurrection and your baptism. So when you go on that patrol, you'll do the best you can to protect your buddies there, your battle buddies. But at the end, remember, your salvation depends not on you being the best soldier, sailor, airman, or Marine, but on being a child of God through your baptism, through what Christ has done for you. So this Memorial Day, I know the temptation can be that we sometimes may lift it too high in the sense of, you know, that's kind of a reward that all veterans are in heaven, and I don't mean to say that at all. What we're doing is we're remembering the sacrifices that they gave, doing their vocation as good citizens, protecting our freedoms, our rights. And as we know as Christians, that those who are in heaven are there by the grace of God for Christ's sake through faith alone.
Before we let you go, Chaplain, tell us about the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's ministry to the Armed Forces.
The ministry of the Armed Forces has been around also since probably World War II, a little bit kind of before that. But our number one goal is to recruit and take care of our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod chaplains and all the service branches, including the Reserve and Guard and even the Civil Air Patrol, to ensure we have good pastors who are out there with these young men and women to proclaim the gospel and to be with them when they need them. But also what we have expanded to is what we call Operation Barnabas. We really want to help our churches reach out to the veterans in our own churches, but also the veterans in our communities. As many of you probably know, there's 20 veterans a day who kill themselves. And a lot of that is just not having the hope. Maybe it leads into some of what I talked about before, putting their hope maybe on their service, but ultimately they just don't have Jesus. And so one of the things that Ministry Armed Forces is trying to do is help train and provide a network of care among all of our Missouri Synod congregations to reach out to veterans within their congregation, but also, and importantly, as an intentional outreach to those in our neighborhoods and our communities who need the love of God in Christ.
Folks, you can find out more about the great work of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces at lcms.org/armed forces. Serving those who serve, LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces, lcms.org/armed forces. Chaplain Craig Mueller is a retired U.S. Navy captain and director of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Chaplain Mueller, thank you very much for your time and for your service to the nation.
Thank you so much, Todd. It's been a privilege, and thank you for having me on.
Pastor Chris Rosebrough joins us on the other side of the break. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're going to talk about what he's calling inspired exegesis, inspired biblical interpretation. Stay tuned. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Zion Lutheran, Greenfield, Wisconsin. Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland, Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming, Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington, Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois, Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas, St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri, Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska, Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri, Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas, Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois, Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin, Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois, Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois, and Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Christ Academy has been the most formative experience as I study to be a pastor. Hi, I'm Ian Kinney. I attended Christ Academy as a student, and now I work there as a proctor. You'll learn theology from seminary professors, have fellowship with other young men, hear God's word, and receive the sacrament in beautiful Kramer Chapel. Christ Academy, June 18th through July the 1st at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. If you're a high school man, visit ctsfw.edu/Christ Academy. ctsfw.edu/Christ Academy.
Are you a homeschool parent looking for help teaching certain subjects? Or do you want your student to study the history, languages, and literature of Western civilization? Memoria Press Online Academy has live online classes with master teachers to help you. Their teachers have years of experience teaching, delighting, and moving students literally from all around the world. Your homeschool year doesn't have to be difficult. Visit MemoriaPressAcademy.com or call 877-745-8866.